Good to see you all. Some new faces as well. Great to be with you. Before we get into our service this morning, we have a special service. But before we get into that, there are just a few things I wanted to fill you in on. One of those is concerning the building that we're looking at. We're second round of kind of amending the agreement. We've sent that back from our lawyer to the agent, to the landlord, waiting to hear back from him. So we are very close, and I ask that you please continue to be praying for that. I could give you more details if you're interested after the service. Just please continue to be praying for that and for all that are involved in that process. It's a little bit of a headache, right? But please keep us in your prayer. Also, as you well know, if you're tuned in to the news at all, Israel preemptively struck Iran's nuclear capabilities over the weekend. And we want to continue to pray for Israel, for peace. We want to pray for an opportunity for the gospel in both of those countries as well, both Iran and in Israel, that people there would come to faith, that the church would be strengthened, and that the Lord would be honored and glorified as His gospel goes out in those places. There's also, if you're not on our Shoreline Facebook Messenger chat, some of you don't like Messenger. You're a little bit afraid of the spies, like Big Brother. I get that. But we do have like this group that we really just utilize to share prayer requests and updates and things. It's not like a chat where we want you to share a whole bunch of videos and that sort of thing. It's just kind of keep each other updated on what's going on in our lives. And if you have that, you're aware of this. If you don't, then you won't be aware of this. But Pastor Nicholas from Calvary Chapel in Fort Portal, Uganda, he contacted me, as well as Pastor Fred, who you're familiar with in, you know, the fact that we were there. Jesse was recently there. My son spent 3 months over there. They were at a pastor's conference in a city called Jinja. And one of the pastors, Pastor Aaron Mwanda, who's a gentleman that I knew, he was saved out of the prison ministry of Jinja, was actually teaching at the pastor's conference, and he passed away. So this was actually him teaching, and he collapsed while he was teaching, had a heart attack, and they sent word back to the conference. You can go to the next picture. This is him and his wife, that he had passed away. So hugely upsetting event for the churches there. Pastor Aaron has been sort of a real stable pastor within the Calvary Chapel movement throughout East Africa for a long time. And Nicholas just got to me this morning and said, you know, that, you know, they just buried him, and just so difficult for the pastors to process this. So just be praying, please, for the churches there. Pray for the pastors that were there, and for his family. You know, he's got a few kids. Some of them are a little bit older. He's 49 years old, so not all that old. Just a real sudden, impactful sort of thing. So be praying for them. And I think we're going to send just a little kind of a love gift over to the family. If you want to be involved in that in any way, just to kind of help support the family in this time, you can do that. I would say just make sure you put your personal giving number, and then make sure you tag it with Pastor Uganda or something like that. If you'd like to just send a donation, just to let them know that there are people around the world that love and care for them. I asked Nicholas about that. He said it'd be a real blessing to the church family and to Aaron's personal family. So another thing this morning is Caitlin, who you will know from singing. Caitlin, where are you? Where'd she go? Oh, she's back there. I was wondering if she wanted to come forward. She's like, no, please don't bring me forward. Her mom's like, bring her forward. So honestly, I don't know what to do right now. But Caitlin, can you just stand up, maybe? Is that like a good medium? That's Caitlin. She's used to being up here, but she's a bit afraid of y'all. You can sit down now. Y'all is an American way of saying yous. And and so Caitlin is going to be leaving on Tuesday to spend some time at a camp, leader of sports at a camp, right, in Canada for a few months. And she had the opportunity, and she'll be traveling around Europe as well before she heads back. So let's pray this morning also for Caitlin and for Jesse, who is her, what are you exactly? Her boyfriend, is that what you say? Is that the term? Her friend, her boyfriend, who's a very important, integral part of the ministry here at Shoreline, and he'll be quite sad, so we'll need to do things to make him happy. And so if he comes in, you see him next week and he's real down and sad, you'll understand the reason. So let's just bring all of those things before the Lord in prayer, as well as just this morning's service. So if you would just join me. Father, we thank you for, God, just for your grace and mercy. As we were reminded through those songs this morning, God, just of who you are. So often our worship is just so focused on self. And I'm thankful this morning that you directed our attention to who you are. That is who you are. You're a God that is moving and at work, Lord. Even when we're not feeling or seeing it, you are working and you're speaking. And God, you're a God who is full of compassion and mercy and grace. And we are the recipients of those things. And we're just so thankful this morning for who you are. And Father, we come to you this morning with some pressing things, Lord, some things that are potentially, Lord, would bring fear into our hearts, some things that bring sorrow, other things that may bring joy. And God, we just want to bring them all to you because you are a God that is big enough to do something about it, and you're good enough to do something about it. And Lord, we want to bring before you what's going on in the Middle East, the wars that are taking place there, Lord. We know through prophecy that there are things that must take place before you come, specifically with these two nations. Whether or not we're, however close we are, we don't know for sure, Lord. Only you know the timeline, but it does cause us to pay attention, Lord, to the reality that you are coming soon. We do pray for peace, Lord. We desire that. And we do pray even more for the opportunity for your gospel to go out, and for people to come to know you, Jesus, as the true and only Messiah. Father, we pray for protection for the righteous. We pray, God, that you would bring an end to this quickly and swiftly. But God, in all things, I pray that you would cause us just through these things to look up. Because, God, we do sense that our redemption draws near, certainly more closely than when we first believed. We pray for the churches, specifically the Calvary Chapel family of churches in Uganda, for Pastor Aaron's family, Lord. We pray that you would just give to them a peace that surpasses their understanding. We pray, God, that you would provide for them and for his church family in Kajansi. We pray, God, for the pastors that were there, Pastor Nicholas and Fred and JB and all of the others, Lord, that you would just give to them a peace that they would be able to then give to others in this time, Lord, that they themselves are struggling and suffering. God, there will be questions. There will be, God, struggles personally within each of these men. And I pray, God, that you would meet them right where they're at. And Lord, that the body of Christ around the world would be able to come around them and comfort them as well in this time. We pray, God, this morning for Caitlin, one of our own, a blessing to so many of us, as she heads out this Tuesday, Lord, just to serve in other places, to see the world a bit. I pray, God, that you would protect her. I ask, Lord, that you would not only give her a good time, but that it would be a time where you draw her nearer to you. I know, Lord, that not everything's going to be easy. There will be hardships, but I pray that in those hardships, she would look to you. And God, that she would come back not just having experienced exciting and good things, but Lord, also having experienced just a deeper relationship and understanding of you. Pray for Jesse, Lord, that you'd give to him comfort and peace, that he wouldn't be too sad, and that he'd be still happy to be with us. And Lord, we just want to commit to you this morning's service. I thank you for what you're doing here. We give you glory, Lord, for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Like I said, this morning's message is really a special, well, this morning's service is really a special service. It's very unique. You will know, probably most of you, that typically we'd be going through the Bible verse by verse and chapter by chapter. But a couple of weeks back, when we were in our study through 1 Thessalonians, we looked at verse 12, where it says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And as we were going through that, you know, there's just this idea that within that to acknowledge or to recognize, and this idea is to be familiar with or to know those who are serving among us. And one of the things that the Lord has been doing here most recently at Shoreline is He's been growing our numbers, but what He's done in adding to the numbers is He's added people to the church who I think are fit to leadership. And it's been a real blessing to see. It wasn't so long ago that I remember meeting with some of the elders and trustees thinking, who is it in the church that could or that is called and gifted and has the characteristics that are necessary to become a deacon or an elder? Well, we're at the point now where we're trying to figure out, because there are seem to be so many of those people, who it is that God is specifically calling to that ministry. Now, sometimes when we speak about the church, we speak of it without real consideration of what the church is and what the church is not. The Greek word which is translated as church in the New Testament is ekklesia, and it literally means a special assembly of people. Scripture teaches us, describes the church to us by using several metaphors that I think help us to understand what the church is. And I think through this we can also gauge an understanding of potentially what the church is not. The first thing that we understand, or one of the things I should say, is that the church is a spiritual body. You'll be familiar with this metaphor, I'm sure. And just alongside of that, I just want to add a note. It's not a business. It's a spiritual body, not a business. In Romans chapter 1, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter, sorry, in Romans chapter 12, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul describes the church as a body in which Jesus is the head and His people, being gifted in different ways, make up various parts of the body. And this is important because there are times when churches borrow too heavily from the business world as they seek to build and to manage God's church. A business owner, for instance, that wants to succeed in this world will probably, most likely, look to employ the most gifted or educated people. They might not be able to, but they'll want to. They'll utilize slick marketing campaigns and attempt to attract people to what they portray as a superior product. These things are good strategies when a person seeks to build a business. But in some ways, they stand in contrast to biblical principles by which God or Christ builds His church. Let me just explain that to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul really makes this clear concerning at least those principles that I just mentioned. He explains that the message of the church, which is the cross of Jesus, is actually offensive to some people and a stumbling block to others. If you're in business, that's not the message that you want to present. Let's present a message that offends people and that stumbles other people. And yet Paul says, this is our message, and this is what we have as the church. In that same chapter, he says that God chooses the foolish, the weak, and the lowest people to be used for His glory. Once again, those are not the people that you would choose if you want to establish some sort of a successful business. And yet God says that these are the very people that He chooses so that they wouldn't be glorified and so that He would be glorified. Now, it's not to say that we shouldn't pursue excellence in serving the Lord, but that because the church is a spiritual gathering of people that are to be led by Christ, worldly business methods are not the main principles that are meant to guide us. Instead, the church must remain and must be dedicated to following the leading of the Holy Spirit, even when it actually doesn't make sense from a business perspective. The church must remain faithful to the message of the gospel, even when it's offensive and not liked by the world. We need to preach the word in season and out of season. And the church must remain committed to its mission of discipleship, even when it faces opposition from the world. Now, having said that, I want to be clear that we can't ignore the reality that there are some business elements within the church, and that these business components of the church do require wise and faithful stewardship or wise and faithful management. And though these do not form the fundamental purpose or spiritual direction of the church, they are nonetheless very important to the operation of the church and to the edification, which is the word that means building up, of the body of Christ. Now, some technical things here that aren't that interesting. Hopefully, they're not interesting to me. Maybe you'll be into it. But, you know, as a church in New Zealand, we're registered as a charity. And Shoreline's business is largely governed by a board of trustees. These trustees are men that attend Shoreline, and they not only bear accountability before God for his church, but they also bear legal responsibility before the government of New Zealand for the charitable purposes of the charity. So those currently serving on the board, I wanted to just highlight who these men are. These are men that really fulfill in some ways a behind-the-scenes role as deacons in the church overseeing the building, and I'll explain what that role is a bit later, but really fulfilling the obligations of serving practically. And so one of the men that is currently has been serving is Luke Foster. And just put your hand up. This is Luke Foster. He loves the clapping, I think, so just kidding. There's also Anthony Bartlett, so you can just put your hand up. Taka Ino. Yeah. The next one you don't have to clap for, Joe Crispy. Where's he at? He already introduced himself and myself. Please don't clap for me. So. Now, we're quite sad because Luke is moving. And we've tried to say he can't, but it seems like that's what he's doing. So what that means is there's a bit of a gap, a hole that's been made within the trustee board. And Luke actually is also our treasurer. And so what we've actually done is we've actually asked Scott Jeffries to become our new treasurer. So Scott, you can put your hand up. And you have a background in management accounting, is that right? Something like that? CBA. Yeah, whatever he just said. CBA. So that what I'm trying to express is that I need somebody like that in my life. And so happy to have you on board, Scott. We've had some meetings to just go over some of the finances and things. And so he's going to be stepping into the role as the church treasurer for a time at least to really help manage the finances of the church. This morning, we're also going to take note of some others, and we're going to address some more practical areas of the church here in a moment. But I wanted to actually move on to another metaphor that's going to help lead into another thing. Another thing that we understand is not only is the church a spiritual body, but the church is a spiritual family. Spiritual family. We call each other brother and sister, and that's not just a title that we use. There's some reality, some spiritual reality behind that. Now, there are social components within the church, and so kind of going off that thing, it's a spiritual family, not a social club. All right, the church isn't a social club. Now, there are social components certainly within the church, but we ought to see one another as more than friends or acquaintances that are part of the same sort of club. In fact, we ought to view each other and treat each other as brothers and sisters. Some of you are like, I don't really like my brother. I kind of fight with my sister. Yeah, that's part of it, isn't it? That's sort of part of being a family. Within the church, we ought to experience this idea of phileo love. That's one of the words, Greek words for love. And this is a friendship sort of love. It's Philadelphia. It's brotherly love, brotherly kindness. But even more, I think we ought to relate to one another on a deeper level, on a deeper basis. That being agape love. Agape love is a love that isn't just warm friendship love. It's a deeper sort of committed to love. I see you as my brother, as my sister, so I'm committed to you. We're family. That agape love is a spiritual commitment kind of love rather than emotional connection alone. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have, and the word is, agape for one another. It's more than just friendship. There's a deeper thing that is to exist within the body and within the family of God. I think, sadly, churches are often treated by people as a social club. Some people make their decisions about church much like they might make a decision to join a new gym. I don't know much about this because I hate gyms. If your name is Jim, I apologize. I haven't met too many gyms here in New Zealand, but some people make their decisions much like joining a new club or a new gym. They're looking for a church with the least investment. They're looking for a church with the most modern equipment, the most modern programs, with the best facilities. I know if you go here, you're probably not looking for that one. Or maybe, you know, my friends go there, so that's where I go. Now, there are good reasons to leave one body for another. But for many, that decision is made far too easily. Well, it's important that we connect with each other as friends. Agape love as a family is going to be revealed through a deeper commitment. And through agape, you'll find this fellowship that we're meant to experience is more than just being social acquaintances with one another who play pickleball. No offense to you pickleballers. Is that what you're called, pickleballers? But there's something deeper. And we're a spiritual family. And another thing that I want to just point out, another metaphor, there are more, but one other one is that the church is a spiritual flock. It's not a sanctuary for wolves. It's not a place, you know, it's not a theater for goats. There was a quote that said, you know, the church will one day stop feeding sheep and start entertaining goats. Well, look, the church is a spiritual flock. It's a place where we gather as the people of God to be fed. Often Scripture compares the relationship of God with His people to a shepherd with his sheep. You know, not long ago, there were a lot of people that were using this as a derogatory term. You're just a sheep. And I was like, yeah, like God says that all the time. That is what I am. It's just a matter of finding the right person to follow, right? Who's your shepherd? That's really the question. In Israel, a shepherd was necessary for two primary purposes. Because sheep needed someone to protect them. To protect them from thieves and from robbers. And sheep needed someone to direct or to lead them. They needed someone that would lead them to food and to water. And with direction also comes correction, because sheep tend to wander off track. And so the shepherd would come along and correct them and lead them to pasture. It's not like New Zealand, where pasture is everywhere. In Israel, you needed a shepherd to bring them to those places where they could eat and drink, where they could be fed. This image of God as a shepherd to his people is one that Scripture extends to people who are placed in positions of leadership over God's people. These men are to shepherd God's people, protecting them from spiritual predators and directing them to spiritual sustenance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we read, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." He says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." In this verse, Peter actually uses three different words, Greek words, to describe the role and responsibility of the leader: elders, shepherds, and overseers. And this describes for us and defines for us a biblical role. The first is presbyteros, and this speaks of the person that is called. And this is that word elder. It's a word that's borrowed from the leadership model that existed within Judaism. It often refers to wisdom that comes with age. Within the church, it's connected more to spiritual experience and spiritual maturity than physical age. We see elders becoming an integral part of the church throughout the book of Acts, further solidified in chapter 20 as Paul meets with the elders and directs them to the responsibilities as shepherds. We also see in the Scriptures biblical responsibilities for these people. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, Paul says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." That's that word, this word episkopos. "To shepherd," that is poimen, "the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." He uses two more words. There's episkopos and poimen. Poimen is a word that really speaks to what this person is called to do. It's a noun that is translated in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 as pastor. And in other places, it's really translated as shepherd, because that's what a pastor is. It's someone that is called to bring God's sheep, to provide pasture and protection for God's sheep. It's often used in verb form, where it's connected to feeding the sheep. And in the spiritual context, it relates to teaching. And we see the primary responsibility of a pastor as one that is dedicated to leading and feeding God's sheep, primarily through the gift of teaching. The other word is episkopos, and this is how they're called to shepherd. And the idea is that they're to watch over the sheep of God. And that's really what the word means, to overwatch or watch over the church. It's also translated as bishop. The shepherd is, we don't use that because it sounds a little bit lofty. But the shepherd is someone who is to watch over the flock. You read that in Acts 20, verse 28. In 1 Peter 2, verse 25, it says, ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, the poimen, and bishop, episkopos of your soul, speaking of Jesus. He's our shepherd. He's our overseer. But he's appointed people in the church to these tasks and these ministries as well. These three words describe these different aspects of this office, this responsibility. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 leads us to understand that there may be elders who serve in the church that do not necessarily labor in word or teaching. And so because teaching is closely associated with the title of pastor, that's the one that we use here to designate someone as a pastor. But nonetheless, there are other elders as well. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment to recognize a couple of men who will help us to overwatch this flock. Help us to watch out for this flock. Taka is going to continue his role as our worship leader, more in this area of oversight, a worship pastor, you could say. He's going to help us to foster an attitude of an atmosphere of worship among those who both lead in song and the body as well, ensuring that the songs we sing are doctrinally sound and drawn from Scripture. Bernie also is going to serve as an elder and help give general oversight to the body while maintaining his focus on ministering to and serving the men of the church. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to invite both men up with their wives, as well as Joe, and we're just going to pray over these men. And I want to do this again in the spirit of what we looked at a couple of weeks ago, just to recognize those who are serving and laboring. These are not men where I'm saying, here's a title, now become it. They are already serving in these capacities, and it really is us just recognizing. Can you stand out in front here, please? Are you a little bit nervous, Kelly? Joe, you might pick up the mic. So would you just join with me? I'm going to pray for Taka and for Bernie. Joe, you can finish the prayer. Is that okay? Father, we just are so thankful, God, for those that you call to serve you. Again, Lord, we are humbled to think that we as imperfect vessels can be filled with your Holy Spirit, can be gifted by your Holy Spirit, and use, Lord, in some way to bring the King of Kings glory. But God, I thank you both for Taka and for Bernie. I thank you for their families. I thank you for their faithfulness. And Father, I just want to thank you this morning that they are willing to step into this role as you, God, have led them to this position of oversight within your body. We pray, God, that you would fill them freshly with your Spirit, that you'd give them strength, Lord, to lead their families in a way that honors you, and that you'd bless them and protect them, God, from the attacks of the enemy.
Yes, Lord, we do lift these up to you. Lord, we lift them up to you and their families as well. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to lead and guide them. Lord, we pray that you would fill them with your Spirit to do the things in which you've called them to do, Lord, that they wouldn't be trying to do these things by their own effort, Lord, but that they would wholly rely on you, Lord, that they would continue to rely on you for these things. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to give them vision for the ministries that you set before them, Lord, and that they would continue to be submitted to you in every decision that they make, Lord. We thank you so much for these men, Lord, and who they are to us and to their families. Such an awesome example of how to be, Lord. Pray that you would just, again, continue to empower them. We lift them up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Awesome. I believe Bernie has requested the title of bishop, so... What should we call you now? Bernie?
Bernard.
Bernard. Oh. Look, this isn't in any way to puff them up. It's not in any way to say that they're above or anything like this. The beautiful balance to Scripture is a calling to lead is a calling to serve. And what we've already seen with these men is that they have been called to serve, and they've been faithful in their dedication to serve us here at Shoreline. And we're looking forward to and anticipating that the Lord is going to add to this number of people that are called to oversight within this church. It's an exciting time. And I'm just so happy to have you guys join us here in this church in that capacity. So be praying for them. As I shared with them, and I'll share with you, with this may come more attacks, spiritually, in every way, really. And so be praying for them. We prayed for them together this morning, but keep that attitude and that spirit. Pray for these guys. Just because they're now, you know, elders, they're still going to have problems. They're not perfect. They need your prayers and your support and your love. The biblical requirements for this role, which I actually meant to say before I brought them up, are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, where it says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, which is this word, episkopos, I think, overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in all submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Again, he says in Titus, he lists several things that are very similar. He says that Titus should appoint elders in every city. And he says if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. Now, we should take note of all of those qualifications. There's only one that speaks to the ability of this person, that they should be able to teach. All of the others speak to character, integrity, and testimony. And I have found that these men do bear those traits. And so we've had several elders in the past that have moved on, and it's such a joy to be able to recognize these two today. But I want to move on next to another role that we haven't actually experienced or had here at Shoreline up until now, where I've sensed that there really is a need for this and God has provided for this, and this is the role of deacon. This is a role that we see established early on in the church. And the biblical role of the deacon comes from a word that's derived from the Greek word diakonos. And it really literally means someone that runs errands. And so none of you are like, oh, that's what I want, you know? It's a privilege to serve the Lord in any capacity. It's someone that waits on tables. It really is someone that serves. It's translated most often as minister or as servant. In one sense, because we're all called to serve the body of Christ, we might use this word very generally as anyone that is called to serve. It's very valid to say that this person is serving the church. They are a servant in the church, and you could very well say that they are, in some sense, a deacon to the church. But what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is he indicates that this was also a role within the church of leadership over more practical matters, more business components to the church. I think that we see the first example of this developed in Acts chapter 6. After the church's exponential growth, the church, due to practical needs, began to have disputes among themselves. And so the apostles, rather than drawing attention away from the spiritual matters, wisely said, appoint some people from among you who can tend to those practical matters so that we can focus more attention to the spiritual things God has called us to, namely the study of Scripture and prayer. Now, what you'll find there is that these men were still filled with the Holy Spirit. They still had a lot of spiritual qualifications. So that's the role. And what are the responsibilities of the deacon? This was the question from the men that I've asked to be in this place. They're like, what do you expect of me? Still trying to figure that out. But really, practically, or how I would see it, is that the role of the deacon is a role in which someone is dedicated to the oversight of the business or practical aspects of the church. Those sitting as trustees would be serving as deacons. Those who are overseeing the practical service of the church would be considered deacons. But this role not only helps to alleviate the workload on those who are called to oversee spiritual matters, it also helps to ensure that each member of the body is cared for and directed toward the area where they might be able to serve. And I think lately what we've been sensing is that the Lord has provided for this and really directed us to recognize some of those people as well, who can really tend to the more practical areas, practical matters of the church. And let me just say this. Practical and spiritual service will always overlap. Practical service, because it's to the Lord, is still spiritual in many cases, in many ways. And let me just say, elders will still have to get their hands dirty and get their muscles worked physically. And deacons will at times be called upon to pray with and encourage others spiritually. It's not like this cold, nope, I'm a deacon, I can't do the prayer stuff. No, there's overlap. But each setting has different demands. And so as the demands increase, we look to the Lord to provide people who are faithful to meet those demands. So he's provided elders. I believe he's also provided deacons. Now this role has different requirements. We see that because this role is in service to God and his people, that these requirements still also deal with integrity and character. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, but then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so from what we've seen, the men we want to recognize this morning for this role do meet these biblical qualifications. I think one of the ways that I test, you know, as it says to test them and then let them serve as deacons, is by paying attention to their willingness and faithfulness to serve the body. Are they looking out for ways to serve the body and stepping up to those areas and those places of service? When they're expected to serve, do they show up? Do they show up on time? All of those sorts of things. And I think these men have certainly proven a dedication and faithfulness to serve this body in a variety of ways. And you'll see them serving and meeting a need. So I wanted to invite these men up this morning along with their wives and the other, our new elders. And Joe, if you guys, first I'll invite Taka and Bernie up, and Joe, you can just stand with me up here. We're going to pray for these guys this morning. And then I want to invite Albertino DeSantos, Ave Greenway, Adrian Klein-Ovink, is that how you say it? Just making sure. And Craig Stone, why don't you guys come up, just stand up here, and we want to pray for all of these. You can come up, yeah, come up with your wife, please. You might know these people, right? Now, in the coming months, I expect that you would see these, all of these, serving the Lord in these practical areas to an even greater degree. But I just want to take some time, and I think just Bernie and I are going to pray for you all, and let's do it. I'll begin, Bernie, if you want to close. Father, we are just so thankful for all of these men that you've called to your service. Again, we are reminded, Father, that none of us, in and of ourselves, even with our giftings, Lord, are worthy necessarily to serve in your courts, the courts of the King of Kings. And so, God, it is with humility that we come before you this morning in recognition once again of your grace and your mercy. And God, I thank you for these men who are just committed to serving you. They don't want the limelight. They're not looking for the praise and adoration of people. They're not wanting or desiring or greedy for money. They just want to serve. And Father, I thank you for their hearts. And I pray, God, that you would just guard their lives, guard their marriages. May they learn, Lord, to love you and to love one another with just an agape love that is evident, Lord, in their service, not only to the church, but also to their wives and their family. I thank you for them, Lord. I pray that you'd bless each one of them in Jesus' name.
Lord, we are so thankful for these men today, Lord. We thank you for their obedience to you, Lord. We thank you that they have the heart to serve you, Lord, and to ultimately give you glory. We pray for them for wisdom, Lord, wisdom as they navigate things that are involved in being deacons, Lord. We pray for strength as they go through things that may be challenging, Lord. As Doug said, it's a spiritual attack in some cases, Lord. So we pray for that strength to lean on you each day in their roles as deacons, Lord. We pray for particularly wisdom in knowing your word and building that personal relationship with you each day, which is a strengthening foundation for their role as deacons, Lord. We ask that you protect them. We ask that you protect their families, Lord, as these things can be navigated quite trickily, Lord, as they look to you each day, Lord. We thank you so much for these men. We thank you so much for their families, Lord. Mm-hmm. And as they go out today, as they go out for the rest of the week, Lord, just be with them through your Holy Spirit, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. That was fun. And Taco worship team, you guys can come forward. You just stay up here, Taco. You're not going anywhere. I think with increasing levels of responsibility with these people who have been called, as they take on new positions of leadership, I think you can expect to see them even more involved. And my hope is that, you know, especially with the deacon role right now, it's a little bit new for us. So I explained to these guys, look, you know, there's a lot of biblical guidelines and things, but we're gonna figure out what that looks like together. And my hope is that the Lord would continue just to add to this body people that want to serve, people that want to serve this body. And look, serving the Lord isn't necessarily confined to just serving here Sunday mornings, right? There are people that are called to different ministries out in the community and that are serving the Lord faithfully in that way as well. And we want to be able to come alongside them also. But the Lord has been doing some exciting things here. And it's just been such a blessing to be with you and to just be along for the ride, if you will, of what the Lord is doing. Would you just pray with me as we close with a couple of songs? There's communion on the back table, and again, this morning, I just want to encourage you to receive that as we close with these final songs. Maybe pray with your neighbor, with the one sitting next to you, if we're all family, right? So we should be able to do that. Let's just close with prayer. Father, I thank you once again for, Lord, you're the one that builds the church. It's not my responsibility, and I thank you for that. And God, I thank you for your word that it is true. It is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. That is the gospel of Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would never veer from preaching your word. That we would do it in season and out of season when it's desirable and popular and when it's not. And God, we don't know what the future holds for us. We don't know how long we have. But in the time that you've given us, we want to be committed to the mission that you've set before us. We want to be committed, Lord, to praise you with our lives and to make disciples. And so, Lord, I thank you for this body. And I pray, God, that you'd continue to raise up men and women who are called, gifted, and sent out into this world, Lord, with the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe we'll stand as we close with these songs. It's on the back.
Yeah, it's on the back. So you guys can just have a seat and take the communion.